Hare Krishna. Back in Achatat Adut Shambhikar, back in Hungary, yesterday was a busy day, so I was not able to do a podcast, but this morning we have Bhagavatam class, so today's podcast will be just a summary of that, which is a very, we're on Namahatmya, glorification of the holy name, sixth canto, and this is the second chapter of Shukadeva Goswami speaking. And it's the verse where he describes how for small sinful activities there are small methods of atonement, for large sinful activities there are large methods of atonement, great methods of atonement. But if one chants the holy name of the Lord, then both small and large sinful activities are automatically counteracted. And of course there's much to be said about the topic overall, especially in Kali Yuga, when we're living in an age where everything that we do more or less is involved with some type of sinful activity, not because we consciously commit it, but even unconsciously. The clothes that we wear, the shoes that we wear, walking on the street, the type of employment that we do, the air that we breathe, there's something impious about every activity that's performed in this age. That's why it's such an unfortunate age, and people really can't divorce themselves from it. We're living in Kali Yuga. And you walk on the street, you're stepping on ants, you're drinking water, you're killing different types of bugs. In fact, there's more bugs in the water than there should be. The types of work that we do have all types of sinful reaction, in the sense that they're causing so much misery and suffering to people in general. Involved in all types of consumer products, manufacturing consumer products, we're just contributing to wasting people's time rather than assisting them in understanding what the goal of life is, better everything. Go to school, children are engaged in all kinds of illicit activities, illicit sex, intoxication, getting involved with mundane music, what to speak of being brainwashed to become little Hiranyakashipus. So Kali Yuga is a really, really bleak time. And Lagu and Guru, that's the words that Shukadeva Goswami uses, Guruna, for very large sinful activities, like, for instance, or very excessive sinful activities such as eating cow flesh, which nowadays people do even without thinking. They don't even know the consequences, whereas in the past age people did. They don't even know that it's even wrong. To very small things like stepping on ants as you're even going to the temple. So for all of these things in previous time, grihasthas especially, and why grihasthas especially? Because the brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprasthas, they're already engaged more or less full time in religious activities and countering these things. But grihasthas would have to perform the pancha yagya, which means as soon as they got up in the morning, they'd already perform fire yoga in order to counteract the inevitable impious activities they were going to do, starting with, for instance, having breakfast. Like eating breakfast, even if you're a vegetarian, then you're taking the life of other living entities. And then, of course, if there are not just the everyday reactions that one has to pay for, but the consequences of extraordinary sinful activities, something that's out of the ordinary that one does by accident. One runs down a dog on the street while driving or things like that, then once again, one has to perform a corresponding form of atonement. Now, first of all, that would make life impossible for us in this day and age. As Srila Prabhupada said, if we had to strictly follow the Vedic system, we couldn't get out of the bathroom in the morning. There would be so many things for us to be doing in order to lead a pious life. That's one problem. But the other and more serious one is that although one may be engaged in acts of atonement to atone for bad karma, still the tendency to commit sinful activities, whether it be to perform gross sinful activities or just the tendency to continue enjoying within this material world and thereby being responsible for all kinds of impious deeds or the consequence of the enjoying spirit. The tendency to perform all of these things still remains within the heart, even if you can balance off everything, even if you can live such a life. What about the actual root, the root cause, the material desires that are within the heart? How do you get rid of those? And if you can't get rid of those, even though you may live a pious life, but ultimately you'll keep coming back into this material world because material desires don't become eradicated. Rupa Goswami says material desires to be eradicated at the root, and that's possible by the chanting of the Lord's holy names. So Sukadeva Goswami says, therefore, Harinama Eva Kevalam, this is the only means of not only atonement, but the only means of bringing this cycle of repeated birth and death to an end, and this vicious cycle of sinful activity, pious activity, atonement, going on and on and on and on, still one gets nowhere. Harinam eva kevalam. And it's a very simple process. And yet, despite the fact that it's a simple process, one needs to take it seriously. As with any activity, one has to be attentive. You're driving a car, you have to be attentive. If you're inattentive, you have an accident. So we see that even though this concession has been given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that by the single activity of chanting the Lord's holy names, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can be free from all of these sinful reactions, and our hearts can become purified, and we can also attain love of God just by this one single stroke. But still, there are offenses to be avoided. And if one does not avoid those offenses, one will not get the appropriate result. We have to, as in the example of driving a car, sometimes devotees chant Hare Krishna while they're driving a car. It doesn't work. You don't get the result. You won't get the proper result. It has to be done properly. Imagine performing a fire sacrifice when you're driving a car. You're driving a car, and on the seat beside you, there's a yajnashala going on, and you're pouring ghee on the fire. You wouldn't expect much result out of that type of yajna. So similarly, one shouldn't expect much of a result of chanting Hare Krishna if it's done so inattentively. So now that we've already received this concession and hit the bottom line, then at least to that we need to make an effort to do it right. And when Srila Prabhupada was asked, well, what if you can't chant 16 rounds? And Prabhupada's answer was, well, then you're an animal, you're not a human being. In other words, it means that for human beings, this is as low as you can get. Even Srila Prabhupada wanted us to start chanting 64 rounds. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in Chaitanya Bhagavat that he won't accept an invitation from someone who doesn't chant 64 rounds a day, which literally means that if someone who only chants less than 64 rounds a day, or at least it meant that, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not be willing to accept their offerings, which may also reflect upon their offerings of service, not just offerings of food. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada made this arrangement that 16 rounds would be sufficient and Lord Chaitanya and Krishna would accept our service and offerings with the 16 rounds. But then below that, we can't go. We shouldn't ask what's below that. The chanting of the holy name, Nam Sankirtan, is already the lowest common denominator for people wanting to aspire in spiritual life. When they can't do less than that, then that means that more or less we fall out of the category of the human form of life. So at least that much we should appreciate, not ask for further concessions, not make any further excuses, and chant that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively. And then we become the beneficiary of such extraordinary results, which even the perfect followers of Vedic culture in days gone past couldn't avail themselves of. Hare Krishna.